Welcome back, everybody, to the Business of Money podcast. This is your host, Nia. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for coming in. Here at the Business of Money podcast, I talk about everything financial that makes you financially intelligent in your business. Because when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. So today's episode is about why solopreneurs need a monthly financial discussion at home. If you are a solopreneur in a relationship, your business affects more than just you. It affects your whole household. And if you're not having a monthly financial discussion with your significant other, you really are operating in isolation. And isolation creates misunderstanding, but structure creates alignment. When your income fluctuates, your household feels it. When revenue is strong, confidence increases with you and within the household. But when revenue slows, tension can increase. You are maybe aren't able to contribute as much as you did when business is going really well. And if you have debt, then maybe your contribution is helping to pay down the overall household debt or your debt. It doesn't, you know, and I also want to emphasize that even if you live alone, you should still have these meetings with yourself so you know where you are in your business and where you are to give you financial clarity with so you can run your household well. But when revenue slows and tension can increase, it's not because, you know, anyone's doing anything wrong, but because there's no shared visibility. And a monthly financial discussion removes uncertainty and it replaces assumption with clarity. So let's define what this conversation is not. It is not, and you are the financial leadership of your business. So let's also frame this properly. You having financial conversations about your business is you protecting your business and making sure that you are understanding where when you pay yourself in your business that the money is going in the areas to help the household be sustainable. So it's not the other person's responsibility to have these financial conversations. This is the CFO sitting down and saying, how am I going to make sure that my business is sustainable and to sustain my household finances? And that's where you lead the conversation and you schedule it with your significant other or yourself, whether it's once at the end of every month or you do something weekly just to get into the habit, but you schedule it. So I wanted to make sure we're very clear on that. So that's why going into this, defining what the conversation is not. It's not a defense of your business. It's not a justification of your decisions. It's not an emotional debate. It's a structured review of looking at how your business, how you pay yourself, because your business is your paycheck, how the money that you're bringing in is contributing to the household to reach its household financial goals. So what you're reviewing is business performance, meaning that the business is doing well. This is how much I can contribute this month. I want to make sure that we're paying down the credit cards or the mortgage or we're saving, whatever. Owner compensation, meaning that you are, this is how much salary you bought in, and this is where it should be allocated. Any upcoming expenses, any tax obligations, and any cash reserves, which we call savings. You're not reviewing, in this sense, your business. It is as if you were paying yourself a salary, and then you sat down and you're looking at how to run the household based on a salary you have coming in from your business, not you sharing your business knowledge. Now, if you are in a partnership with someone, then as partners, first you do the financial review of the business, and then you do a review of the household. And this way, there's an understanding that there's separate entities, but everyone is sitting down discussing money and the allocation, investments, and things like that. It should be done over food and coffee and donuts and croissants, mimosas, whatever, and treat it like a business meeting, but own the meeting. I have meetings with coffee and muffins. I have meetings with mimosas and muffins, right? My own personal meeting. I make it an event, because money is something that should be talked about, because it's how you're building sustainability, so you don't have the same problems the average person has. And you should make it your own, even if it's over dinner. It doesn't have to be in the morning. It could be over dinner. It could be over lunch. It can be inside. It can be outside. It could be on the patio. It could be in the backyard. It doesn't have to be at the dining table. It could be at a restaurant. Make it so that it's you're changing what could be a very stressful experience into an experience that you grow from and you learn from. You learn to remove the emotion, but you learn to embrace learning how to manage your finances. And when you turn it into something enjoyable, like, how are we doing this month? Okay, let's see, we got these problems, we got this. How are we doing? You know, you want to turn it into something that is important, is prioritized, but it's not a stressful situation. It's only stressful when you don't have the money. But even then, I'll say, well, how are we going to make the money? What's going to be our game plan? You know, how are we going to get it? How are we going to make sure we're secure? That's how I treat it. And when I hit my goals, and I don't make my goals so high that I can't reach them. I make them so that I know I can reach them, and I got to challenge myself a bit. But I'm not going to lay in bed like, oh my God, I'm trying to take that away. I'm not going to lay in bed. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? No, it's let me make sure that I know what I'm up against. Let me make sure I know what my position is so that I'm able to do what I need to do. And I can keep growing through the process and figure out how to do it better so that each time it gets better and better and better. I'm not improving the process. I'm being consistent, and I'm disciplining myself to always look at what's going on in my financial life with my business and personally. That's why I say that this kind of conversation needs to be done calmly, factually, and without a whole bunch of drama. This is not pointing fingers. This is not what you spent. No, this is, okay, where you're at, where am I at? And are we on the same path? So, and that's why I say this is why it matters. If your business supports the household, your partner deserves that visibility. Even if they're not involved in operations, and even if they don't understand the details. But they should understand, is the income stable? Is the cash flow consistent? Are we preparing for taxes? Are we maintaining reserves? You're building trust, not pressure. Trust. The trust starts with you taking financial control of your life. Personally first, and then your business. Because when you run your business, you running your business and you running your household are two of the same person. So if you run shitty household financial operations, you run shitty business financial operations, and that's on you. And even if you don't run a business, if you haven't gotten a handle on your financial operations at home because you're indulging and you're being an ultra consumer and you feel you need to live your best life now and you want to live that soft life and you got people sponsoring you and whatever the case may be, and you think that you can, no, you can't run a business like that. And when you're married, it's very different because one person is working full time, two people may be working full time and both trying to run a business. You know, there's a whole lot of different scenarios. But you and running your business personally and running your business finance as a business, y'all are both the same people. And you will make the same mistakes because running a household is a business. Because of the financial transactions. Everybody got contracts. They're just not your contracts. Georgia Power got a contract. I live in Georgia. Georgia Power got a contract. Your mortgage banker has a contract. The mortgage company has a contract. Your credit card companies have contracts. Right? Your Amazon account has contracts. Your credit cards. Everybody's got contracts except and that you have to abide by. Not they abide by you. You have to, your money's going to, your work got a contract. Everybody's got contracts but you. Let me let that sink in. Everything in your financially for your home is run by a financial transaction. And those transactions are tied to contracts. Every single one. The public school has a contract. Private school has a contract. College has a contract. Credit cards, mortgage payments, student loans, personal loans, running the household, all of those have contracts. And you have to abide by them. In your business, you have the contracts that run your business. Every customer that comes onto your site, whether it's an Etsy site, whether it's eBay, and you're on somebody else's platform, they have contracts to run your business. So you are managing those contracts, period. The marriage has a contract based on finances. But all of that is trust. Will you pay? Can you pay? With two people, it's to trust that, can we pay? When will we pay? Will we have the money to pay? And if you run the business and you're and that business is the sole source of income, no one likes uncertainty wondering if the bills can be paid, which is why visibility is very important. Now, money is power. He who has the money makes the rules. So if you decide, I don't want to share that information, you're going to pay for that decision and you need to be prepared for it. Period. Every decision has a consequence. So if you're like, I don't want to share that information, I'll just allocate the allowance and keep it moving. And this is gender neutral. I'll allocate an allowance and I'll just handle the money. I don't need a conversation. I think that's disruptive because now conversations open the door to input. Oh, I don't think we should spend the money that way. Well, aren't I a viable partner? Because let's say someone maintains the home, the upkeep, the operations, and they're not being fairly compensated. And they believe that we're partners, right? But with money, the marriage is very different. And they want to be compensated for it. There's no retirement for the person not bringing in the income. Are they a part of the operations? Do they get put on payroll? That's a whole nother conversation. One that needs to be discussed with the trusted advisor. can the business support an employee? So when you see social media saying, oh, you want to hire your spouse? Nope. You want to have a conversation with a trusted accountant to run the numbers for hiring family. And can the business support that? Right. It just opens up a whole different door that's not discussed. All right. So I don't want to go too far because I don't want to make this too long. But saying all that, that's why most solopreneurs or one person business owners avoid this conversation. They either don't want to worry their partner. They don't want to appear uncertain. They don't want to explain fluctuations and they don't want to give up the power. They don't want to give up the power. Information is power. That's number one. Everything else, worrying a partner, being uncertain, explain fluctuations, that's the other part. And let me tell you what I mean by this. I'll give you a background. I'm always going to give a little start. Try to keep it short, but to hit the point home and to the extent of why this is important, because this is things I've witnessed sitting on, you know, one side of the table. Got a job, a contract, an independent contractor gig, working with a consulting company. This consultant offered business finance to companies. He had different financial sources, and when companies needed money, they reached out to him. And he would try to help them get financing for whatever problem they were facing. And I went with him on a call one time. And we go into this company here in Georgia. It was a black engineering firm. And very historic building, very, very old company. Had roots here in Georgia. We go in, we waited a bit. And all the owners, there was three of them, sitting around a table. And they obviously found this guy on his website. He had some kind of download talking about small business finance and the very things that we're talking about now. And that's how they invited him in for a conversation. And I was lucky enough to go along. Anyway, so I'm sitting around and the first thing I notice is there's no employees. This is the middle of the day and there's nobody working. This is like on a Tuesday. We didn't have remote work back then. Pre-pandemic, let's say 2012, 2013 maybe, because I wasn't teaching at the time. And we walk in, there's no employees. I noticed a lot of things about businesses today that just are wild. But anyway, so we sit down in a very nice conference room, very large, very antique conference table and, you know, very large bookcases with lots of books and things about it. Very established. Like I said, it's very established, very, you know, very, very old school. And these black men were older and they all looked distressed. That's the first. The second thing I saw, they all looked distressed and they explained their situation. They just want to close the company. And they needed financing to just get themselves out of this business they were in. And the challenge with them was they got an 8A contract. And they placed their bet, which most unfortunate women and business, minority business owners place a lot of emphasis, especially online, on getting these grants and contracts with the 8A government. You know, this was an 8A, was a minority contract. This was before DEI. And, you know, this is a great way to bring money in, da, 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 da. I've never believed that because people don't understand government contract. They don't tell you everything until you're in too deep. Well, they fell for the Kool-Aid and they got this 8A contract. Well, they're doing the work. They haven't been paid. And the problem was they put the cart before the horse. They got the contract with the provisional acceptance into the 8A contract. Turns out they weren't really 8A suppliers yet. So here's where the problem, until they got the, they did the work, because the government will let you do the work, but it's based on the condition that you get the contract. Well, getting the status takes a little while, you know, getting the, and I could be saying it wrong because it's so long ago. All I knew was they were doing the work and they weren't getting paid. And that was the problem, was cash flow. And now they're heavily in debt. They can't pay their employees to fulfill the contract because they placed their bet on the entire contract. So now it's just them, and now they haven't gotten paid, which is why I said I think there was a discrepancy in them actually having the certification as a minority contractor. It takes longer to get the certification, but somehow they were able to do the work first. Regardless, they needed bridge financing, is what it's called. So, and then that bridge financing is they just want to get out, and they want $1 million apiece to get out of this business and try to probably restart over. Their mortgages are behind, the kids are in private school, and every one of them was married. And their wives are bitching and moaning about what's going on. I can't use the credit card, or we're heavily in debt. Like, you know, there's all these kinds of problems because they say, you know, our wives are looking at us, and we want to pay out of $1 million each because they have bills at home to pay, but there's no employees. Mind you, employees haven't been paid. So they have these incredible, they have a cash flow problem, but they had a timing problem, and they didn't have a conversation with their spouses because they're panicking. Everybody's got their head in their hand. So the guy is sitting there and he's like, well, can I see the numbers? Because it's one thing to say, we have these problems, I want to see the numbers. And they did have a spreadsheet, but they were hesitant to share the spreadsheet because they were waiting for, which was kind of holding up the meeting, they were waiting for their investment partner. And it's like, we're really not sure, but they let him see. And he was like, well, you know, just conditional. We haven't solidified anything yet, but it kind of just gives me an idea of, you know, where you're headed and what's going on. And I don't know if I can help you or not. Saw the numbers. They're bleeding cash because everybody's gone. It didn't even matter. Everybody's gone. They're bleeding cash. They're highly leveraged. They don't have any money coming in. So then finally some guy walks in and turns out this investor was their banker, and their banker worked at Bank of America. He quit his job to work with them as their advisor because he had, and I put this in quotes, a football player who played for the Falcons who was looking for an investment opportunity. And this was where they would get their financing from. But the company owners were smart enough to seek alternatives just in case the football player might have decided he didn't want to make the investment. So we were waiting for the banker to come back to see if the football player would be interested initially. Everything is initial because they're just going through this. And, but the next thing I was like, okay, so hold on for a second. You were their banker. You knew they had problems before they knew they had problems because you were watching, you're their personal banker on top of that, meaning for the business. So they had to, you know, when money goes through, having a relationship with a banker that's able to come in and sit at the table, meaning that they were letting you know what was going on. And the banker, in my personal opinion, took advantage of the situation, quit his job, and jumped on their payroll. And he could have been wanting to help them with the contracting and putting together the financials. I don't know the backstory behind that. All I knew is he quit his job at Bank of America and jumped somehow on their payroll. probably as an equity stake. And that was another thing. The investor was the football player wasn't giving just money. He wanted like an equity stake. That was the big deal. So, you know, me and the guy just looked at each other and we're looking at the guy and I was like, oh, all right. So, and then once he came in, all of a sudden they felt relief. You can feel the tension in the room. They felt the little relief that he showed up. And I have a feeling he probably didn't always show up and do what he needed to do. They wanted to go with the banker and the potential football player partner because it's a different interest with equity versus business financing that has very high interest, particularly if you're the higher your problem, the more leveraged you are, the more money you need, the higher the interest rate. And I don't know about their business credit. There was none of that was discussed. All I know is they wanted to go with the equity partner versus financing that could cost them quite a bit of money in interest payments. And, you know, now they're heavily in debt differently. So we left. They didn't want the services. And when we walked out, the owner says to me, so what'd you think about that meeting? And I told them exactly what I thought. And I said to him, first of all their employees are gone. Second of all, they put the cart before the horse and they did the work before any cash flow started coming in, and they're highly leveraged personally and highly leveraged in business. And I said, and then they waited for a partner who was their banker, and the banker quit his job and jumped on their payroll. So the banker knew what happened before they did, and he didn't have a conversation with them. He saw an opportunity. And then he brought in somebody that he thought could help them because they believe they're all going to get a payout. And then they wanted $1 million each personally. So they have all kinds of problems. Said they're highly leveraged. You can see it on their statements. And he's like, you're very observant. I said, well, I mean, it's not rocket science here when you understand what's going on. It's what's going on that I understood more so than the numbers. It's just the visible stuff going on. And then he said, but you personally, I'm going to tell you what I noticed. And I said, okay, he's like, I'm going to give you feedback, which is going to be a bit of a problem, not for you, but for you in a sense of having these kind of meetings, because these are the kind of situations you're going to deal with working as the consultant. He goes, one, getting them to open up. He goes, you're a pretty woman. And they were hesitant to talk, which it didn't occur to me. They were hesitant to talk to you because they were embarrassed. That's what took them a little long, just even showing me the statement. You're a woman and you're a pretty woman. And they felt embarrassed and ashamed because they didn't manage their money well. And you remind them of their wives. So that was number one. He goes, and that's going to be your main problem in this business, is getting people to open up to you because they're embarrassed. They'll be embarrassed. They don't want to show that they can't manage their money. And he's like, oh, what'd you think about that? And I was like, that's a very interesting observation. I was wondering why it was taking them so long to get the conversation going. He goes, and I didn't let them know I was bringing you with me. I figured I'd just bring you along on the call. And I was like, oh, he goes, but that's going to be a problem for you. Unfortunately, you're going to have to figure out how to work through that. He goes, and I don't know how you would do that. It's not a problem for me, but that's something that that's going to be a challenge for you because men probably won't open up to you. And I thought, and that was the trust part I thought was interesting in terms of having conversations with others. So when you're trying to make a long story short, when you are trying to have the conversation, the trust has to be there to have an open and honest conversation about what's going on. So people aren't in the dark. You got to let, excuse me, the embarrassment come through. You got to let the tension come through. You got to, if you're in a relationship, this is not talking about people who just cohabitate, but yes, if you're sharing bills, yes. Even in your business, if you're having a CFO, the CFO, or someone, the bookkeeper or something, there should be this conversation. But we're talking about in the household. Silence creates more tension than numbers ever will. And when numbers are unclear, assumptions fill the gap. And assumptions are very, very rarely accurate. So a simple monthly structure looks like this. First, review the previous month to give you a little bit of action to do. Write it down if you got a pen and paper. Review the previous month. And you're reviewing revenue, expenses, any owner pay, owner draw, and your cash balance. Then you review the next 30 to 60 days. Any expected income, any major expenses, any tax allocations, any savings goals. And then third, discuss adjustments if needed. There's no blame, no panic. You're just planning so that you're not surprised. You should do it in your business first, then you do it in your household so that your partner understands where this money might be coming from and you can give them some numbers. And then you base your household off of that. And again, like I said, if you're the primary income owner, this is even more important because leadership at home requires visibility, not perfection, just visibility. If income dipped, explain why. If there's a strong month is coming, explain how. And if you're investing in growth, explain the plan. Because clarity reduces fear and structure reduces conflict. So let's also address something directly. If your partner is uncomfortable with fluctuation, that doesn't mean that you're failing. It means unpredictability needs structure. So when they see that you have reserves in your business, you've allocated for taxes, you're tracking cash, you're planning 90 days ahead, confidence increases because there's a system. So being a solopreneur is not just a business decision, it's a household decision. And your business income impacts your lifestyle, travel, housing, retirement, and security. And that deserves a conversation, not once a year, monthly. And financial intelligence is not just how you manage money inside the business. It's how you communicate it outside the business. Because when your business is your paycheck, alignment at home is stability. Silence, to wrap up, is not strength. Structure is. And you let the structure and the system help you gain clarity and provide clarity. And that is what leadership is all about. So that's it for me. If you need help with that conversation, hit me up. You want to know how to start? You want to know what questions to ask? Let me know. I'd love, love, love to help you out with that. Right? All my sessions are private and confidential. Right now, they're pretty affordable. Book me on the website. Join me at Cocktails and Conversations, where I have these types of conversations. And so there's a way to hit me up on the Facebook, on my private net, on my network where it's free. I'll post some conversation starters there if you didn't want to shell out that $200 right away. And I also have the Women's Wealth Private Council, where it's a private Facebook group where we go a little bit more in depth about these very same questions. So there's ways to interact with me if you need a little help with that. All right, that's it for me. My name is Nia. I am your host for the Business of Money podcast. This is the Women's Wealth Institute's way of reaching out to you to let you know that we are not just a website and a platform. We are a brand and we are only serving one-person businesses. Why? Because when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. I'll catch you on the next one.